Today is a day in which Jesus' legs of dry rode on the donkeys to save us to Jerusalem. And therefrom he receives persecutory execution and sacrifices himself to redeem us. But it did not end there. On the third day he rose again from the dead and triumphed over death for us. The church, for this week, we will commemorate and celebrate this act of Jesus Christ. Starting today, let us be mindful of the journey that he took, the path he was on to save us. Let us meditate on this salvific act and his teachings and be graced by it this week. The Easter is one of the biggest commemorations. Let us awaken ourselves and partake in the dawn prayers and assert yourself to this end, to be mindful of the gratitude that he has given us and his redemption. And let us share this with one another, starting from the verse 11 to 18, we will share the verses there in between. Under the title of the Merciful and Faithful High Priest, we will share the word. Book of Hebrews was sent to the Hebrews. At the time, they were encountering severe executions. They were mauled by the lions because of the devotion to God, and they were deprived of all their possessions because of the devotion. And they had to opt out of the comforts of life and face death because of their devotion. And some Hebrews, not all of them were devotees, some were moderates, and they opted out of the faith and apostated from the faith because they question the faith. Why must it be so hard and difficult and be deathly? And they reverted back to back to the Judaism teachings. But does this paint the full picture? Is it because of the persecution that they reverted back to Judaism? More importantly, they were lacking the knowledge of the great salvation, the knowledge of salvation. They lacked the faith in this, the true essence of the redemption. For example, if you were to be gifted by 20 kilograms of gold, would you throw this away? Would you discard it? You would if you did not know the true value of it, but no one in their right mind would be dispensing with the gold. In that manner, people were not fully aware of the redemption that they had received from God and Jesus. The book of Hebrews, in this vein, tells us the true essence of the divinity of Jesus Christ and the therefrom receive redemption. How holy he is, how divine, and how precious he is, that there is no other that is greater than he in terms of preciousness. We will learn of this. Book of Hebrews. The first part accentuates the divinity of Jesus Christ, and the latter portion tells us of the act of him lowering himself to save us, how he lowered himself to humanity. There will be a new world to come, new earthly, new heavenly kingdom awaits us. It's a kingdom that was prepared for us. But if you are blemished and tainted by the sins, you cannot enter the gates of heaven. This is why Jesus Christ lowered himself to the level of humanity, and from that act saved us from the sins and delivered us from all the sins and allowed us to enter the gates of heaven. And to carry out this fulfillment, transiently, he has lowered himself. And for the time being, he sacrificed himself on the cross, but he was ascended into heaven and was crowned. Devotees, you too will evanescently receive persecution, but soon after, you will receive and be the inheritors of the kingdom of heaven. In today's main text, it continues to teaches us on the Jesus lowering himself, the underpinning reasons of this. There are three reasons. First, to become our brethren. He embodied our flesh. Verse 11, both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Who is the holy? Jesus Christ. One who are made holy? This is referring to us. We are the one who were made holy. He himself is intrinsically holy, but he himself does not wish to be holy, and from far afield judges us, castigating us as sinners. Rather, he has personally, intimately visited us to save us. Jesus Christ befriended the sinners. Leper, he healed the leper, put his hand on the leprosy and healed it. For the impure sinners, he was crucified and absolved us of the sins from the sacrifice and made it holy. We are conversely sinners. We are intrinsically sinful. Our thoughts are always evil. Our emotions, our will, our flesh, our spirits, all have been polluted and been contaminated by the sins. And I am holy, hence you must be holy as well, he commands us. But we ourselves, of our own accord, cannot be divinized and be sinless. We will relapse into sinning time after time without fail. But to those sinners, Jesus has sacrificed himself to save us and divinized us from the sacrifice. All that is required of us is to devote ourselves to Jesus, not from our acts, our accomplishments, our altruistic behaviors, and meditating in the caves for the self-awakening. From those acts, you cannot be holy and be sinless. All you need to do is believe in Jesus. He is the only begotten Son that was sent to us to save us, and our fealty to him will help us to be sinless and enter heaven. And he, the facticity of him redeeming us, all you need to do is believe in this act of salvation. What is the corollary of you believing in this? You will be absolved of your sins, and you can righteously stand before God and receive the divinity. You will be born again if you have faith in this. You will be born again, be renewed in life, not your body. Your spirits will be born again as his child, not as a Korean national, but as the citizen of heaven, as the spiritual Israelites, Israel. More importantly, as his child, as his children, he becomes our father, and we ascend to being his children, become his sons and daughters. Who is he? He is the king, the master, and the master of the universe, and the creator of the universe. Then who are we? Naturally, we become his prince and princesses. Then allow me to ask you this question. Then Jesus, regarding the filial relationship, he is the Son of God. And now that we have become children, if that's the case, then between Jesus and us, who are we? We are brethren. We are siblings. Verse 11, let us look at it again. Both the one who makes holy, makes people holy, and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. We are his children. Therefore, our brethren to each other. He is not ashamed to call us brother and sister. Hence, we can call each other the same. Repeat after me. Jesus, brother. Jesus, brother. Let us refer to each other like this. We can rightfully refer to each other like this. He is not ashamed to call us a brother. Why is this the case? The High Almighty, how can he not be ashamed to call us as a brother? Is it because he is humble? Because he has humility? That's why he was personified in a likeness, even though he was a God incarnate. But it's not the only reason. In actuality, he lowered himself. That's not the whole picture. By him being lowered, conversely, we were exalted to the point of us becoming his children, to the point of us being his brother. We were transformed, and gloriously, we were exalted because of Jesus, because of the devotion to Jesus Christ. Jesus has become our brothers, and this was foretold in the Old Testament. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. To become his brothers and sisters, first, we must become the children of the same God. Regarding this, the Old Testament has promised us. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I, and the children God has given me. Verse 13. Book of Hebrews, one of the hallmarks of it, it harkens back to the Old Testament and draws parallels to it. Because the Hebrews, the recipients of the epistle, were well conversant in the Old Testament. They were well versed in the scriptures of the Old Testament. And the Old Testaments were explicated to understand the knowledge of Jesus. And that can be applied to us as well. When you assimilate the Bible, one verse will explicate the other verse, and you will be edified from this mechanized reading of the scripture. His revelation is special more than any other revelations. The subjugation of death and the darkness forces will disappear, and the sadness and the distresses of life will disappear. And in lieu of that, you will praise and exalt God. The life that you have received from Jesus will be shared with others if you are inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is the pulsating life of God, the Word. If you are intimate with the Word, the Holy Spirit, it will open our eyes and hearts. The wisdom and the revelation thereof will be awakened to us. And through the scriptures, we will be awakened to another scripture, and so on and so forth. We will be awakened to the teachings. Jesus, regarding him becoming our brothers, it was all promised to us in the Old Testament. And to fulfill the promise, he has likened his flesh to ours. Second reason why he lowered himself is to triumph over the over death. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. Verse 14. We were of flesh and blood here, refers to us embodying the flesh. Through the flesh and blood, it's a vessel in which that carries out God's will. But before the sin, we used the body as a vehicle to execute God's will gloriously and divinely. But after the sin, we became the tool of sin and evil forces. But Jesus, this flesh of ours, he wore the flesh like us and came to us. But with the same flesh, he was sinless. He did not use it as a tool for sin, but according to the original will of God, he revealed God. His love was revealed through him, and he healed the sick and renewed the lives of sinners, and reflected the glories of God and used his God as a vehicle for that. And during the time of the Old Testament, there were heretical teachings such as Gnosticism. They referred and deemed the body as being defiled and did not hence regard Jesus as the divine and the master of us, because they deemed the body as a defilement. Our bodies in itself is not bad. For instance, a knife can be used as a weapon to kill people, but the very knife that is used to kill somebody can be used by a doctor to save a body and life. In that way, our body, if the sinful nature drives it, then it can be used as a tool for sinning and transgressions. But if it is used by the Holy Spirit, it can be used as a vessel for carrying out his will. And Jesus Christ embodied our flesh and used that flesh to reveal the love of God and to carry out and fulfill the will of God. And he used it for that purpose. The will of God refers to uplifting us from the evil forces and the death therein contained. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Verse 15, by embodying the flesh, he revealed us of the invisible God, and by dying, absolved all the sinners from the sacrifice. And by resurrecting, he triumphed over death. He cracked the skull of the devil. Leading up to that, no one could triumph over death. The emperors, and Kim Il-sung, for example, infused himself with the blood of virgins to have a prolonged life, but he did not triumph over death. And Muhammad, Buddha, and Mother Mary, Confucius, none of these characters triumphed over death. Catholicism deems Mother Mary as being sinless and that she ascended into heaven, but she too died. And even now, all are dead. No one was victorious over death. Only one person, one God, only he triumphed over death. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And because of him triumphing over death, all those who were in fear under the dominion of death were saved, because him triumphed over the subjugation of evil and why he was able to uplift us from and save us. Only Jesus. Because of this, he is our only God, our Savior. All that is required of us is to believe in this. For surely, it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. Jesus embodied our flesh and died and was resurrected and fulfilled the will of God and saved us. It's not for the angels why he did this. It's for us, for people, but not for all people, but only the descendants of Abraham. It's a gift to those who follow the path that is in keeping with Abraham, or who believes in God in the way that Abraham believed. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham, Galatians 3:7, Galatians 3:9. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Only Jesus Christ is our Savior, and only through this faith you can be saved. Only Jesus Christ, only he triumphed over death and cracked the skull of the devil. And from that, we have been uplifted from the damnation. And only the descendants of the descendants of Abraham are the only ones that can be saved. And therefrom become the heirs of the heavenly kingdom. Lastly, third reason why he lowered himself in our likeness is to become the high priest for us, to help us. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. High priest equates to mediating between God and the people. And between God and people, there's also the prophets. Prophets are the people that, from God to people, the direction. A high priest is someone who goes toward God on behalf of the people. Prophets receive the word from God and judges upon the people and implores people and admonishes people. But the high priest will, on behalf of people, ask for the forgiveness to God. This is what the high priest is. High priest for the people. They must have empathy and be able to vicariously partake into their emotions and feelings and have compassion, and at a visceral level, have the same sensations of pain that they themselves are undergoing. And on behalf of them, make a case to God. One of the educators of the church underwent a severe depression in the past. And was under great stress and had no living hope and was under dark thoughts. But Jesus saved the educator by assimilating the Bible, was saved because the word has life and it healed the person. In the past, because of having underwent a depression, he has high empathy for those who are depressed just by a glance, can understand the hurt that they are undergoing, and desperately, together with them, pray for them and yearns on their behalf to God and be able to conduct the intercessory prayers. And Jesus Christ has lowered himself in our flesh and became one of us in flesh and Hence, he understands the pain that we undergo day to day. He underwent the same temptations as he was fasting. He was hungry. He underwent the trials and tribulations from the ministry work, and he was betrayed. He was shamefaced in many occasions, and he was lonely. He was emotionally hurt. And on Mount Gethsemane, as he was carrying the cross, he fell down time after time from the weight of the cross, and he was whipped. And he underwent great suffering, and he was pierced on the cross. And as he drew his last breath, he underwent unconscionable pain, and felt the same pain as we would have felt the pain. He has high empathy for us and has pity on us and is merciful on us because of this understanding. Verse 18, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. He has the same body as us. He understands our sadness and our tears. He is privy to all of our pains. He has intimate knowledge of our pains, and he has compassion for us, and he wishes to help us and can resolve the issues of pain for us. From the curses of sins, he prays for us to uplift us from the sins. He is the faithful high priest. While we are domiciled in this earth, you will encounter inevitably persecution and will relapse into transgressing relentlessly and will be in distress. You will be diseased and be sick and will be under fear and will encounter countless tests and persecutions. But we have the merciful Jesus Christ, the merciful high priest. Be mindful of this. He has become our brethren. From the death and the resurrection, he has uplifted us from the damnation and triumphed over death. And while we encounter persecutions and tribulations, he sincerely wishes to help us and without fail intercede on our behalf. He invariably helps us. All that is required of us is to have faith in him. And through the faith, he will become our merciful high priest. And only through the faith you can experience his grace. I would like to intercede on your behalf and conduct the intercessory prayer. Allow us to close our eyes and put your hands together close to your heart, and in full humility, let us humbly pray. When I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray together in unison, let us say aloud, Amen. Dear Jesus Christ, we are sinners. Since birth, we were born as sinners, and this sinful nature is intrinsic within us. Our thoughts, our plans are all evil. Our emotions are twisted. Our will is enervated. We countlessly and relentlessly sin. We imbibe the sin. We digest the sin. And even at times, we take pleasure in sinning. And we are cursed with this. we ourselves of our own volition cannot be free from the transgressions and sins. We cannot triumph over this. Please be our Savior, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, please be our Redeemer. We believe in the facticity of you being our Savior and that you on our behalf died on the cross and that you became the sin incarnate for us to absolve us, to give us absolution for those sins, and that you have triumphed over death and that uplifted us from the forces of Satan, and that you became the merciful high priest and prayed for us to God, and that you wish to earnestly help us to uplift us from the sins, from the pain. We believe in this Jesus Christ. We wish to believe in this Jesus Christ. Please help us to believe in this. We profess our faith. Please requite our faith, our faith with your grace. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.